Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the old woman in the closet. Was she the former owner of the home?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, we love to hear your ghost stories. So if you have one, chances are you do. Call it in, 855-853-4802, or write it down. Send it in, realghoststoriesonline.com. You could also become a premium subscriber. And with that, you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. So if you want to sign up, you could do that through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper's with me today. You might not know this, but there's a big holiday coming up this week.
Which one?
Carol's birthday.
Oh, right.
holiday.
Sorry.
I think that maybe you should come here and surprise me, maybe.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Actually, you can't do that because my birthday's on Wednesday this week. And so this is airing a few weeks after my birthday. But even if you could, I would tell you no, because you'd have to take off from school. And you're taking off from school tomorrow for a better reason. Harper is right smack. You're not smack in it. If you drive a little ways, you will be smack in the line of the total eclipse. I am so excited you get to see that. Because the last time it happened, I went to watch, because they said it would be like 90%. So I went and got the eclipse glasses, and I went out to a lake with my dog, and it was cool. It was more like when a dark cloud passes in front of the sun and the sun kind of goes away for a minute. That's kind of more what it was. But what you see is going to be pretty awesome. Now,
yeah, I'm really excited.
Kathy was telling me, too, a lot of times with that. So look around at the ground. She said that there's also weird shadows that you'll see. I don't know. I think it could be super cool. And you've got the glasses, right?
Yeah.
So you can look at it. Shadow bands. That's what it's called. I think they're shadow bands.
What's shadow bands?
Shadow bands. These mysterious bands of shadow race across the landscape in the seconds before totality. Scientists still don't fully understand what they are. You can study them yourselves by taking measurements and photographs and come up with your own hypothesis. They're wavy lines of alternating light and dark that can be seen moving and undulating in parallel on plain-colored surfaces immediately before and after a total solar eclipse. So I wonder...
I'll look for this.
Yeah. Now, this guy, this is kind of cool. Because when you think about that, if you go back like 500 years ago and this would happen, I could see how people would think it was some demonic, like... world-ending thing, because here it is the middle of the day. Yeah. So this is interesting. There's this guy from Germany, Hermann Goldschmidt, notes shadow bands in 1820, visible just before and after totality at some eclipses. There was an English astronomer saw his first total eclipse of the sun in 1842. He recalled shadow bands as one of the highlights, then said, quote, "As the totality approached, a strange fluctuation of light was seen upon the walls and ground, so striking that in some places, children ran after it and tried to catch it with their hands."
Oh.
So I don't know. Look around.
Yeah.
So how far away do you guys have to go?
Not that far. I think we're just like going east. I don't necessarily know where east, but east.
Well, let's go to our first story today. And it says, "Hi, guys. I just wanted to start by saying I am a huge fan. I listen to your podcast almost every day. Since listening, I have realized I'm not so alone in my experiences, and I've been more open about talking about them. So thank you." That is so sweet.
Yeah.
"When I was 18, I moved back with my mom for a fresh start. The only room they had open was a small 12-foot by 8-foot room with dark red walls. A small closet in the corner of the room always made me feel uneasy. So I would always put my laundry basket of dirty clothes in front of the door to ease my mind a little. The first couple of weeks were fine. I would hear noises, but I wasn't worried about that. The house is over 100 years old, and the entire time I was there, I always felt like I wasn't alone, and something was always staring at me. One night, after I got off work, I got out of my car and noticed that the bathroom light was still on, which was odd because both my parents work early in the morning and I didn't get home until after 1 a.m. and they are always in bed. After I got in the house, I got something to eat and tried to relax a little before bed. When I walked upstairs, I noticed the bathroom light was turned off. As I said before, the house was very old and you could hear when anyone was moving around anywhere in the house. I got into bed and the feeling of someone watching me was so intense, it was hard to breathe. I managed to doze off after about an hour of staring at the darkness, waiting for something to happen. The next night was the first time I was ever legitimately scared. It was just like any other night. I flopped into bed after a night's work and I just sat there with the lights off, staring into the darkness. The only source of light was a small hallway light that lit the room up slightly. I started to doze off, but out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a figure near my laundry basket. I turned my head to see what it was, and when I did, the figure looked like it started to crawl across the room to the foot of my bed. I don't ever want to see something in my room, let alone something crawling.
Oh, crawling.
Walking is creepy. Something walking across your room is creepy, but add in the word crawl. Oh. No, I don't like it.
Because, like, when you think of that, you think it was, like, it's almost, like, kind of think of, like, spider crawling. Yeah. Like, bat crawling. Like,
yeah, yeah. Ugh. I sat up and leaned over the bed to see what it was, but nothing was there. I turned on my TV, hoping I could distract myself from what I saw. I did manage to fall asleep for a while, but I couldn't stay asleep. I would always wake up to the feeling of something pulling me. The last time it happened, I looked at the foot of my bed and I saw what looked to be an old woman hunched down with her head poking above the end of my bed. I sat there frozen for about 5 seconds before she vanished. The next morning, I asked my mom about the people who lived in the house before her, and she told me of an older couple who both died in the house, and my room was the old woman's knitting room. I moved out of the house, but found myself back there with my girlfriend a few years later. She can see spirits. I will explain how I know she does in another story. Kind of think that would have been a good opportunity right then. From the moment she stepped into the house, she felt uneasy. And when she walked upstairs, she looked into the old room I stayed in and looked right at me and said she would never step foot in that room. When I asked her why, she told me an old woman was standing in the closet staring at her. I have more stories about that house that I will share in other letters. I'm sorry for the long story. Hope it makes the podcast. Keep up the good work and have a great, great day. Zane. Totally haunted room. It's got to be.
The whole thing is just like the crawling. Ugh.
Well, and then the pulling at... Yeah, he said, I would always wake up to the feeling of something pulling me.
I don't like that.
I don't think
that's just like an old woman anymore. That's like something else.
That's the thing. It doesn't, the two things don't seem to go together. Like, I know you're a spirit, so if you want to do a creepy crawl, that's up to you. Just because you're an old lady spirit, I don't think that would matter. I think you could still crawl. But it seems very negative and dark and unkind.
That's not typical knitting old lady like stuff to do.
Doesn't it seem like if you were renting a house and it's like, here is where Evelyn used to knit. This was her knitting room. I would think that'd have a nice peaceful vibe. She sat in there knitted. That's like meditation.
Yeah.
I mean,
guess not.
I don't know. It just, to me, now I'm with the girlfriend and, you know, she saw something, but it almost makes me think there's something else.
It almost makes me wonder that, like, if the woman was there, if she saw the same things?
And what if the woman, the knitting lady, was actually there to kind of protect him from this creepy crawly pulling at your feet thing?
Yeah.
What if it's two separate things there?
I think it is.
Ugh, I don't like any of that. So this one says, I wanted to write in and tell you about the one paranormal experience I had involving my recently deceased grandfather. I've had other experiences, nothing terrifying, only a little jarring, but I'll save those for another time. This story takes place 10 years ago. I was 19 at the time, and my family, all very close, were preparing for my father's funeral service. A few years before, when I was 16, my family lost my grandmother. My grandpa was heartbroken over her death until the day he died. We all believed he hung on for his family as long as he could before he was ready to meet her on the other side. The day before the funeral, I stayed over at my aunt's house for the night, helping her prepare food and the house for visitors following the burial. I went to bed that night and slept in my cousin's bed with her. That night, I had a vivid dream. I'm convinced it wasn't a dream at all, but a visit from the other side. I should mention that my grandfather and I were very close and had a wonderful relationship. Losing both him and my grandmother, who I was also very close to and fond of, within 2 years was very hard on me. It was hard on the rest of my family as well, but I struggled to come to terms with their deaths, having had such a close bond with both of them. At this time in my life, I had now dealt with the loss of three people who I loved and considered mentors. In the days and weeks since each of their passing, I would have vivid dreams of them. They usually let me know when they were just fine and there was nothing for me to worry about. This was a similar dream, but it was so much more vivid than anything I've experienced before or since. That night I dreamt I was in a very crowded shopping plaza. I was elbow to elbow with a lot of people. We were all in a hurry, rushing one way. Everywhere I turned, there was an unfamiliar face. I remember feeling the push of the crowd on my back as I stumbled forward with them. I was looking for an exit when I saw him, my grandfather, in the middle of the crowd. He smiled at me. The others surrounded him, but they gave him a wide berth and didn't seem to notice him at all. I was the only one who could see him, despite the fact that he was standing in the middle of a sea of people, about 3 feet of empty space on every side of him. My eyes filled with tears and I yelled for him. I started running to him, going against a crowd. It was very difficult, but I eventually made it to him. He looked exactly as I remember him. He wore a signature white t-shirt and jeans held up by suspenders. He was even wearing the black Velcro clothes shoes he was known for. Instantly, I was crying, grabbing onto him and holding him to me. I said his name over and over and over again, and he wrapped his arms around me and hugged me close, petting my hair, and he smelled the same. He told me that he was okay and that he made it to the other side, and he was with my grandmother and my Aunt Lori, their eldest daughter who passed away before I was born. He asked me to pass this message on to the rest of my family members to let them know he was no longer in pain and he was happy. He instructed us to celebrate his life the next morning rather than mourn him. I was still sobbing when he told me he had to leave. I cried out to him, trying to get him to stay with me. He moved away from me, so I dropped to the floor like a child and grabbed both of his legs, begging him not to go. Before I knew it, he'd vanished into thin air, almost as if he had dissipated. I was instantly awake before I even opened my eyes. The weirdest thing to me was that I woke up on my back. I'm a side sleeper, always have been, and my legs and my arms were extended out in the air, my hands clenched into fists as if I were clutching onto something or someone. Hot tears ran down my cheeks. At that moment, my aunt walked into the room to wake me and my cousin so we could start getting ready to go to the funeral. She saw me crying. I shook my cousin awake and I told them exactly what I had dreamt. They agreed it was a visit from my grandfather, and we cried tears of happiness together. I guess it makes sense that he would come to see me since we were so close. Neither he nor my grandmother have visited me in dreams for a while now, but I know they are still around me, and I suspect their silence just means they are happy where they are. Thanks for reading this. I love the show, Brianna. Oh, that's one of those that's so heartbreaking and sweet and sad and all of the emotions.
I just love that story so much because, like, he came back and he was like, yeah, like, I'm okay. I'm with grandma now.
Oh, doesn't it get you? And, like, the whole thing about her seeing him in a sea of people and trying so hard to get to him. Because I do believe in a visitation dream. You know, you've got to be, I don't think it happens for everybody, but it would be hard to reach out to someone on the other side. And so I think that was kind of that struggle to get to him, was fighting through all those people.
Yeah. And I almost kind of wonder if all those other people are, like, also on the other side, like, visiting people at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of, like, an interesting thing to think. Like, as if, like, it's almost like a special, like, center to visit people from the other side.
It's like Union Station when the trains all let out, you know, and all the people are, like, the middle of an airport and everybody's going somewhere. What if they were all looking for their loved one on the other side? That's kind of a cool thought, actually. But those kind of dreams are so powerful. I've had a couple of them, and I just woke up knowing that was, it was just so different. It was like, I just saw my dad. And I know I didn't just see my dad, but it was that real. So I've always felt like that. Like, those dreams are just different. So, and the fact that he would come to her the night before the funeral and tell her that, don't mourn my life, celebrate it. Because isn't that what you would rather have your loved ones celebrating the good times? Or, you know, it's like, don't just remember my death. Remember all the shit I did. Like, let's talk about that. Like, you know, we had fun. Let's talk about that. I don't know. Those are the ones that just touch me so much.
You've had quite a few of those now.
I know. Every time, I always say this every time. Those are my favorite stories we get. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Or if you want to write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you could sign up. No commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.